In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to them and confront them. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. We remember the work of past guest Reverend Mary Hardy, who passed peacefully April 6, 2025, surrounded by family at home in Allegan, Michigan. Before I found out that she had passed, I was reading her book, The Alchemist Handbook to Homeopathy, and found an interesting passage on page 62 that I shared with some friends. It reads, quote, "In the time period known as Atlantis, humanity had the light and sound devices to advance into the system of 12. This was the science of the mystery schools. However, these devices fell into the hands of the wrong people and were used to control people instead of teaching them how to heal. In our opinion, the same practice of controlling the RNA and DNA is now being developed by medical science." And this book was published, by the way, in 2013. Some of the new drugs designed to fight disease are designed to alter RNA and DNA. The game is the same as it was in the time of the mystery schools. It seems that modern medical science wishes to densify the human body through the practice of genetic engineering so that the soul becomes trapped in matter. They wish to stop humanity from reaching its higher self. Those who are in control of the Earth's governments do not wish to lose power at the time of the Earth changes. End quote. Mary then goes on to discuss how we must all become spiritual warriors and share the knowledge of healers using sound and light, such as Royal Rife, Nikola Tesla, and Wilhelm Reich. She had also mentioned how in Revelation 7:4, quote, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all tribes of the children of Israel," end quote. Mary writes, "Each of the 12 tribes sealed 12,000, totaling 144,000, relating to each chakra having 12,000 connections to the higher planes. When you activate the system of 12 chakras, you are activating the 144,000 nadis, or threads of communication with the Creator. When the 12 chakras are aligned and activated by the nadi system, the human consciousness will be totally free from the physical. These spinning energy wheels allow the consciousness to move into any time and space. At the present, the eighth chakra is located 1 foot above the head. As the ninth chakra is activated, the aura will grow 3 feet. This chakra is located 2 feet above the eighth chakra. So the ninth is 2 feet above the eighth. The tenth is 6 feet above that. The 11th is 12 feet above that. And then the 12th is 18 to 20 feet. It's known that the eight chakras correspond with the glands of the endocrine system. And I wonder about these chakra points up to 20 feet high. And could they correspond to something, maybe the extension of an endocrine system in the morphic field? Just a thought. In memory of Reverend Mary Hardy, we listen to a past interview from 2017. On this show, we've looked into the importance of the power of intention and how it affects the etheric and water, the universal element. We've also discussed ways to counter the negative effects from living in a radiation nation. we're going to get into the deeper material regarding orgone energy, weather manipulation, ELF waves, and a glimpse into the practical applications of harnessing etheric energy through the experiences of Mary Hardy and her family. One evening in 1968, something extraordinary happened to Mary while she was with her family near her home in Allegan, Michigan. It was the catalyst that inspired them to construct a large pyramid in the backyard of their Michigan home. By 1975, the structure was complete, built to scale with the Egyptian pyramid of Cheops, using a 52-degree angle. That angle, as past guest Peter Shampoo reveals, is the bonding angle of the hydrogen molecule in water. This pyramid, it turns out, is also an orgone accumulator that inadvertently attracted the attention of nearby military intelligence, who paid a visit under the guise of book salesmen. The healing effects of the pyramid not only helped her son's health, but it's known to continually heal the disruption in the atmosphere caused by ionospheric heaters such as HARP and Russian weather control technology. I mention we get a glimpse into the spiritual and etheric renaissance of Mary's world because there's a lot going on. Mary has a PhD in homeopathy from the Missouri College of Naturopathic Physicians and a BA in education from Western Michigan University. She's written two books, The Alchemist's Handbook to Homeopathy and Pyramid Energy, The Philosophy of God, The Science of Man. To this day, Mary continues to crack the codes of deception and interface with the etheric using meditation, prayer, orgone energy, and the accumulated wisdom from the experiences in her life. Get comfortable because a lot of the past topics on the show will converge in this interview. Mary, welcome to Another News.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Mary, if you would, could you give us a short bio?
Okay. I was born near Allegan, Michigan. It's where I've lived all my life. I was born in 1937. I have a teaching degree from the Western Michigan University. I graduated in 1959 as a PH teacher and taught 18 years. I have written two books, Pyramid Energy, The Philosophy of God, The Science of Man, and because of my illness, I studied homeopathy in 1980 and written a book called The Alchemist's Handbook to Homeopathy. But because it became out of print in 1995, I wrote another book and put a little chapter on the glia brain. So I have two books in one called The Alchemist's Handbook to the Glia Brain, and The Alchemist's Handbook to Homeopathy.
Mary, would you please take us through the experience you and your family had on that important evening in 1968?
Well, Dean and I both feel that we've met the elders of the planet, the main one being Brother John, the beloved Katumi. I hesitate to call him Katumi because I just know him as Brother John, but he also was the founder of the Knights Templar, and that is why we are working with the Knights Templar. We have been given tons of information. My sons, in 1968, John, he was 3 years old, and Mark, he was 5 years old, and we were told that John was not really designed to live in the third dimension. He had dyslexia, and we were told that if we did not build him a pyramid by the time he was 10 years old, that he could not really function in this planet. A lot of this scared us for a long time. Well, we stopped along the road to let the boys go to the restroom, and they got out, John, my husband Dean, and Mark, and I noticed that the moon was over here, and I immediately conked out. When I came back, the boys and my husband were getting in the car. There was a dust storm, or what we call a dust devil here in Michigan. And when I woke up, the moon had gone across the road. Now, this was at dusk. We later found out when we got into the small town of Schoolcraft, We had lost almost 4 hours of time. We were taking the boys to a Dairy Queen to eat, and it had been closed for 45 minutes. And I said to Dean, I said, we're about out of gas, and that gas station looks like it's closing. So we went over there, and we found it was almost 11 o'clock. So from 7 to 11, that is a lot of time. It had took us several years to understand what happened. And at first, we could not, we were not metaphysical at all. Mm-hmm. My husband, Dean, drove heavy equipment, and I was a PE teacher, and we had not got into metaphysics. And so when we pulled in there, we asked what time the Dairy Queen closed, and they said at 10 o'clock. Well, for years after, we said we lost only 45 minutes. But then when you really, that's how shook up we were, that when you really stop at the side of the road about 7 o'clock and don't get into a small town 10 miles away, it's 11 o'clock. So that's 4 hours of time. And we were just so naive about this. But every Sunday night, the back door wouldn't lock. We had strange balls of light walking through the house. And slowly, in dream time, we met other entities like Hilarion and Elmoira. And these people started training us. Well, finally, in 1972 or 73, we went to mind control. So we took a class at Selva Mind Control because we were just not able to comprehend what was going on in our lives.
Could you be more specific about that? What do you mean that you went into mind control?
We took a class in mind control to learn how to meditate.
I understand.
Yeah, because I could give you an example. I'd go for a walk, and we met the Sasquatch. They were out in our woods, and they were protecting us. At night from the time on Sunday, I'd get so disgusted, I'd walk into the living room, and I'd say, I know you're here. I'm going to sit down and listen to you. And then the lights started. The old TVs that we used to have, they were on demand, so the tubes were still lit. And there'd be flashes of light and balls of light, and the TV would blink, and the lights would go on and off in the house. And I ran into the bedroom, and I jumped on the bed, and I said, I can't go in there, Dean. I can't. They're here. This is the way we reacted. And it took us until we took Silva Mind Control to really begin to understand what was going on. And then many of the people in Silva Mind Control were members of a club in Montreal named The Initiates, and that is where we met Kenneth Killick. And Kenneth Killick, in 1975, we went up to visit him, and he drew us the plans for the pyramid that we had to build. Now, we were told, since John was so dyslexic, they really cannot function well in the third dimension. They are time travelers. They can go back and forth. And that is why in my pyramid book, I put the story of Plato's cave. Plato's cave, we are very limited in the third dimension. We can only work one direction. We only see shadows. We don't see the reality of what our brain is capable of understanding.
Mm. Can you back up for a minute to talk about the Sasquatch experience? Because I think our listeners might be interested in that particular encounter.
Well, every time I'd go for a walk, they were trying to get a hold of me. But I'm a chicken. My son, when he was 10 years old, would dress up in his fatigues and run through the woods, and they called him Running Thunder because he made more noise than they did. But I'd go out there, and they would be standing. I would stare off at trees and stop and sit, and they would come and stand maybe 50 feet away. And I'd say, don't show yourself. I don't want to see you. That was my reaction. And one time when we went down to Florida, well, down to Georgia, because we took our books to New Leaf, and we had a friend in Georgia, Atlanta, that kept our books. And we pulled our truck. We also build medicine wheels. And we had built a medicine wheel. We pulled the back of our truck up to face the medicine wheel. Dean also had Wilhelm Reich's Cloudbuster on the back. And there was about a ton of books in there. And my suitcase, I went to get my suitcase out of the truck. And the books had shifted over, and I couldn't pick them up. I couldn't push them. And a Sasquatch appeared. He wanted to know why we were putting the Cloudbuster at the medicine wheel. And I was trying to struggle to get my suitcase out. All of a sudden, I felt this hairy arm go down my side of my arm. The books automatically moved, and suitcases popped out of the truck. And I said, don't show yourself. The guys next door are bow and arrow hunters. You don't show yourself. And I just turned my back on him and walked up. I didn't even look at him. That's
wow.
My experience with it. I do know, and I've told them, that if I'm ever in trouble, because they're time travelers, if I'm ever in trouble, please come and hold my hand and take me where I'll be safe. That is my agreement with them. But please, they smell. And please don't come and visit me while I'm walking in the woods. Does that help you understand my feeling?
It sure does, Mary. And thank you for elaborating on some of those stories and encounters, because I think there's an important connection there. Now, getting back to Kenneth Killick, you met him at the initiates meetings.
Probably around 72. This was 75 when we went to his house and got the plans for the pyramid.
Can you talk about your interaction with Kenneth at this time and how he knew what you needed in terms of building this pyramid?
Well, we had about 3 years of discussing things, and then I called him up and I said, we got to build this pyramid. And Dean was driving heavy equipment, and the company went out of business, and I said, in 1975, he's 10 years old. Probably the hand of fate made Dean unemployed, so he had the time to build the pyramid. So I called him up, and I understand this. This is what Kenneth had told me. He had been in England in the Second World War, and he was 13 years old, and he was inducted into the Army. Because I totally feel that Kenneth and Tesla were very close in communication. He was very clairvoyant. In fact, one time an artist came down and spent some time in our pyramid, and he said, he saw this man, and he painted his picture, and he said, the picture looked just like Tesla. And Kenneth said, yes, I've been communicating with this man, with Tesla, for a long time. Kenneth was very clairvoyant. I mean, when we used to go to meetings like Global Science, there were people like Andrei Prokhorovich, Tom Bearden, Marshall Vogel. And in fact, in 1985, when I went, because Kenneth wanted to protect by registering it with the patent office, so because we had built our pyramid with an orgone covering. Now, this was 1975. Orgone energy with Dr. Wilhelm Reich was outlawed in the late 40s. In fact, they went to a crematorium in New York City. All its cloudbusters, motors, orgone generators, everything, books, everything was burned, 18 tons of it. And it was illegal to have things like a cloudbuster or an orgone box. So it was impossible for us who weren't into any of this. So you have to understand the caliber of Kenneth Killick's ability to design something for us that would be interdimensional and deal with time and deal with frequency so that the frequency of the human residence could be balanced on the planet.
At this time, how long did it take to construct this, and was Kenneth with you the whole time?
No, Kenneth lived in Canada. We had to dig a hole first, because if you're going to build an orgone box, it's layered, and so you can't have a door going inside. So we had to dig a hole under the ground, and we hired an old bricklayer, and he laid a tunnel for us, and then we built a pyramid on top of that. And the pyramid is 24 by 24 by 15 feet tall, and it resonates to the heart chakra, the same as Cheops pyramid resonates heart chakra, almost 53 degrees. It is to balance the heart frequency within the world. That's why we built our pyramid.
We just had some interference on the line. I don't know if you heard those loud pops. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear a loud pop.
Wow, okay. Peter Shampoo mentioned that the angle, the 53-degree angle, is also the angle of the bond of the hydrogen molecule in the...
In water. And it is to purify water. That is what it was designed for. I mean, Kenneth Killick was clairvoyant because he could go back and forward in time. That's why people like Einstein and people like that have a hard time functioning in the third dimension, because they go back and forth in time, and they can relate to that. I am convinced of that. And I work with the Knights Templar, and they certainly go back and forth in time. So they could go into the future and realize what's going on. When we took John to Kenneth's house, we played around for a day. They took the boys to the museums. And then at night, about 6 o'clock, he said, John needs a pyramid. And John was only 10 years old. So he took him downstairs, sat him on the basement steps, and for 45 minutes or an hour, the parents weren't allowed to interfere. He talked to John. And I'm sure that John, at that time, was totally programmed to be able to communicate in the pyramid. So when we finally got the pyramid built, it was Christmas, around Christmas time. I thought I would go out and celebrate Christmas Eve in the pyramid with the boys. And pretty soon, John started talking in tongues. Scared the bejesus out of me. I went over to him, and he said, "Mom, leave me alone. I'm talking to my friends. Just leave me alone." So I ran in the house, and I got Dean, and I said, Dean, we got to get this boy out of the pyramid. He's being possessed." And Dean went out there, laid his back up, and said, "Mom, you get out of the pyramid. I'm just going to lay here." So these are the kind of things. And to this day, John knows how to balance the pyramid and to balance things around. He's very private about it, and he'll probably not be happy that I said something like that. But anyway, that is why we had to build the pyramid, and I'm very sure that the elders of the planet and Kenneth Killick were teachers from this dimension and other dimensions of what we're doing. The first thing that Kenneth Killick told us about the pyramid is, since it is a balancer, up in Lake Michigan near Wisconsin's Door County, we have a phenomenon called the Great Lakes, just like the Bermuda Triangle, the Great Lakes Triangle. More planes have disappeared in the Great Lakes Triangle than have ever disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle. But because our pyramid sits between that, the Bermuda Triangle, and the Great Lakes Triangle, it balanced out the abnormalities. Since we built our pyramid in 1975, you have not had a real experience or talk about the Bermuda Triangle or the Great Lakes Triangle. So that is why we have the balancer that we have, and it's very important to bring this frequency of the Schumann resonance.
Mary, could you talk about the Sawyer Air Force Base and the interaction there, maybe their interest in the pyramid, but also the disruption of the Earth's energies that you've noticed?
Well, I'm sure that Kenneth realized that they were at Sawyer Air Force Base, which is Michigan's Upper Peninsula. They were planning on building an ELF station. Navy wanted to communicate with the Polaris submarines, because during the Cold War, if you shot off a nuclear weapon, you might not be able to shoot off a nuclear weapon in Russia if they bombed America. So their deterrent was to keep nuclear nukes in the Polaris submarine balanced at the bottom of the ocean, and they could submerge if we had a nuclear attack, and they couldn't bomb Russia for 5 days until the electromagnetic field was correct, because nuclear weapons won't go off unless the field is correct. That is my understanding, and that is why they put ELF, broadcasted it through the Seattle Space Needle for the Pacific Ocean and the CN Tower in Toronto for the Atlantic Ocean. That is my understanding. But we weren't privy to any of that until, you know, we built this in 75. Mm-hmm. And shortly after we built it, it was maybe 5 months or so, it was during the wintertime. We live on a private road. So at the very end of the private road, there was a Navy car. It had Navy written on it. And two guys walked all the way back to our house. They said they were book salesmen, but inside the books they were selling was nothing about anything but pyramids. So they wanted to know if we wanted to buy this dictionary and this brief textbook. And they talked about it. And we weren't privy to any of this. All we understood is that we built the pyramid for my son. We told him that is why we built it. We didn't say we were counteracting ELF or anything. But later I have learned, and this is what Kenneth said and other people like Tom Bearden have verified it, that this has protected the oceans so that the frequency of ELF did not burn up the plant life in the oceans. It protected it, and that is the orgone signal that keeps everything at the Schumann resonance, the life force resonance. And that is exactly probably why John was sent here. And even though we don't talk about this very much, I don't think they're going to do anything, because they need that pyramid there, because they have gone into HARP and ELF, extremely low frequency. I think that they know that we are keeping the balance of the water frequency on the planet, and that is why we are trying to build nature's cathedral. The Knights Templar built big resonating chambers because, first of all, they were here to protect bloodlines of Jesus and Mary. And so they went to Jerusalem and found the Ark of the Covenant. And they were told that they had to build these big cathedrals to bring in the life force energy so that they had a resonating chamber with tachyon energy fields to bring down the Schumann resonance. So, and they designed it so that through the ley lines, when they rang the bell on the farmland, this would balance the farmland after wars, after things. That is why the Knights Templar built them. And they built them also, they became the protectors of people traveling, and that is how they created the banking system. In 1996, the Templars came to me and said that during the First and Second World Wars, their churches had been bombed out, and the Rockefeller Foundation had gone in there and reprogrammed them so they didn't resonate to the frequency that was beneficial to mankind. So for 4 years, they gave me a job, and this to go into these cathedrals And they gave me a prayer called the Holy Grail Vortex. And they would come in and they would spin their shields around in the churches and reactivate the connection of the tachyon fields so that the Schumann residents could come back into the cathedrals. And that's really what the Templars were about. They were building a temple on the planet. So mankind, when the planet moves into a different frequency, people can train their consciousness so that they can move into a higher plane of frequency instead of being trapped by the third dimension. And what they are trying to do with cell towers, ELF, EMF, it really traps humanity in the third dimension. And we're not basically third dimension people. We are fourth, fifth, sixth, wherever we can graduate to. And so that needs a temple on the planet. And that is why Peter is creating nature's cathedral by placing organites on acupressure points and connecting it to all of this.
That would be Peter Champeau,
yes.
Past guest author of Gaia Matrix. And
yes.
The material that you were just speaking about, Mary, is that information included in your book, Pyramid Energy, The Philosophy of God, The Science of Man?
You know, that book was written in 1986, I think. And it's degrees of me learning. We built the pyramid in 75. Part of it is in there because in 1980, Russia wanted to do the same thing. They wanted to control the frequency of the weather. They had a beautiful steppe area, but the weather didn't cooperate with them. And they wanted to create a farmland like we have in Kansas and that part of the country. So they built huge magnifying towers, and that's in the book. And Kenneth worked with the Undersecretary of State of Canada, one of them, and he understood that they built these towers. So what happened is when these towers were shut down because it was creating earthquakes, they moved over and fell down into long lines of solitrons, and they didn't dissipate. And when those lines of solitrons moved, it created 9.1 on the Richter scale earthquakes in the Indian Ocean. And these lines stopped between Port Barrow, Alaska, and the Falkland Islands. So if you look back in the weather patterns of Michigan and Ohio and Buffalo and Chicago, 76, 77, 78, and 79. Look at those snowstorms. We had two-story snowdrifts here. And what we did is Kenneth designed a pyramid, an obelisk, and we put it in Sedona to, you know, resonate the line. Take the line from our pyramid in Michigan to the obelisk that was built in Sedona, that would cross the line that went from Alaska to the Falkland Islands. And that created what Kenneth was famous in, and that's where Scalar Energy came from. Kenneth understood what we called standing columnar wave signatures. So you build a standing columnar wave on that line that goes from the Falkland Islands to White Barrow, Alaska, that actually was pulling, that was messing up the storms. So we've been doing a lot of things, but this is a broad span. And every year we get a whole bunch of new information. And we started this in 75. The book was written in 1986 or 87. I never reprinted it because we didn't have a lot of money. And people have offered to correct it and reprint it, do these things for us. But because New Leaf, one of the sales ladies from New Leaf, when people would want something on the pyramid book, she said, this is the best book written. So over the years, we've probably sold 17 or 18,000 copies. It's not great, but a lot of people don't want to buy pyramid books. So it's been profitable to keep it and print it, and that's why we haven't redone it. It really should be redone because we jump around an awful lot. Okay?
Mary, if you were to reprint the book, would you add or take away from some of the information in the book at this point?
I'm 80 years old at this point. I really would not want to take on the task. What I do is we make YouTube videos and put new information on there. I probably would add a lot of what I just said. I don't think I would take away anything because, remember, the elders of the planet probably channeled this book to me. I might have a clearer understanding of tachyons, how they operate. Kenneth's theory was keep it simple, sister. Kiss it. And so the simpler you can make it, and scientists have called me up and said, they can't understand my book because I'm not scientific enough. I don't want to be scientific enough. I really only wish to help the average person understand the very simple tachyon movement, walk it, create a standing calmer wave, or do the Holy Grail vortex. And this way, they can bring peace to their property. They can bring the Schumann residence down to their property. And that's all that's important. To balance themselves or to create a place that's going to heal humanity. That's what's important. We don't need to understand all the scientific terms, but people have written me, told me my book is very hard to read, very hard to understand because it's not scientific. And that's why it's written that way. Does that help?
It certainly does. And I just recently received it, and I'm just thrilled. I can't wait to dig into it. I'm so excited. Just for listeners, the Schumann resonance, it's known as a global electromagnetic resonance generated and excited by lightning discharges in the cavity formed by the Earth's surface and the ionosphere. Just so listeners have an idea of what you're referring to when you say Schumann resonance. And I don't think listeners are familiar, as I wasn't, with the tachyon frequency. If you would, could you explain that a little bit more for us?
Well, labyrinths are made in the tachyon field. Native American dancers dance in the tachyon field. The tachyons are the smallest particle, and they tack on ions to make your electrons and so on. It's a way that Kenneth explained it to me. I'm not a scientist. But for you to move in the tachyon frequency, that's why people get so much medical help when they walk a labyrinth, is because their brain is trained to the back and forth. You have a standing wave, which is a vortex. If you tried to put two vortexes together, you would have a problem because they wouldn't go to each back. But for the tachyon to be broken down to a tachyon field and they clock, that way the two standing waves can be engineered so that they can move through one another. And this is how people could go through walls. You listen to the music of the spheres, and that's probably a new, but you can actually hear them in our pyramid. And you can tune your body. I'm not saying you could walk through walls, but that is what has to happen. And to go into higher dimensions, that's part of the way you go into higher dimensions, the way I understand it. But every native people, they clock one way, and then they clock back, and then they clock one way, and then they move forward. The elders of the planet, for people to go into time, they teach people how to clock through the native dances, through the labyrinths. That's what it's all about.
Yes, and I noticed you mentioned that in your book, the Native American Hopi rain dance.
They can bring water down, can't they? And that's because they can clock through a lot of dimensions. And the clocking action brings you into a future and the past, takes you into time. That's what I understand from Kenneth. For me to explain it how it happens, I can't. I don't even want to try. I just tap into Kenneth Fields or walk over the labyrinth or do a native dance, and I'm there. And we don't need to understand the scientific field. Okay?
The pyramid, as you mentioned, it's performing multiple functions, and among them, as you mentioned, it's an orgone accumulator. Have people experienced healing effects inside the pyramid?
Yes, they have. They have.
Would you describe just a couple of them for listeners?
Well, I have had several people come here. Just recently, a truck driver who was very dyslexic, he came and spent a day, and it helped him understand his field. Everybody has a different experience. We used to have a book, and people would write down their experiences. Schools would bring kids out, and usually it was an experience of them going back into past lives. Our one school teacher had them write down their experiences. Most of them went back into the time of Egypt. It's basically a conscious understanding of putting the central nerve system and the ability to function. If we can get into our frontal lobes, and that's what homeopathy does, you change the energy, you change the manifestation of the mass, we could instantly heal ourselves. People like Lingo, who was the mountain man on Groucho Marx, he was also the forward observer for Patton's army. He went up in the mountains, and he just, by teaching people to enter their frontal lobes, were healed. And they could communicate with the bugs, so you didn't have to use poisons. That's what THD Lingo tried to understand. There's so much. We've been studying this. We started in 75. There's just so much information. It's hard to put it all in an hour show, okay?
We're certainly not going to cover a fraction of it, but I was interested in that particular area. Did you write about some of this understanding in the Alchemist's Handbook regarding the frontal lobe?
Well, yes, I did. Medical science doesn't want energy medicine out there, but so people like Royal Rife, Wilhelm Reich, Tesla's devices, Leginski's devices, Dinshaw's devices, they tried to write color therapy out, electromagnetic therapy out of healing. And interestingly enough, Connie Perk, in What the Bleep Do We Know, agreed to bring some of this back in. The brain is divided in white matter and gray matter. 85% of the brain is white matter, and it is like the switchboard of the body. In fact, when they operated on Einstein's brain, and the omegas can develop the white matter, that's why it's good if you want a real bright child, or you get a child that's been damaged by autism, by the shots. What you need to do is give them lots of omegas, and it will help build, stabilize the white matter in their brain. And the white matter is 85% of your brain, but it works on touch, taste, and smell. And the olfactory bulbs, which is what's involved with smelling, will take you right to the amygdala gland. And the amygdala gland, if you smell the right thing, right smell, will take you right to your frontal lobes. Now, what THD Lingo discovered is you can enter time, space, matter, and change even the frequencies by just entering the frontal lobes of the brain. But interestingly enough, in the 40s, by the head of the AMA, wrote the science of the white matter of the brain, or the glia cells, right out of existence. So all the medical science is based on is 15% of the brain. And that's why if you activate that, you go into the pyramid, yes, you're going to get a healing. And that's the way I feel. I wrote the book in 95 on the Alchemist Handbook to Homeopathy, but then I studied the information on the glia brain, and Dr. Fields and others have been putting out books on, like, the other brain, like an article on the Science News I sent you. Just imagine, our white blood cells eat up the dirty stuff in our blood. Well, you have a little cell called a microglia that eats up the dead stuff in our brain. So, and how you activate the glia cells is by taking the omegas. And I work for a multi-level company, and I think because of my influence, they have created a wonderful drink called MindWise, because it helps clarify the mind, especially with, and the oils that are in that help clarify the mind.
I was curious if you also discuss ways for just regular people to learn how to see Earth's energies.
Well, we have YouTube videos. We could send you, anybody who wants to, they could just call me up on the phone or email. Would it be good to say email me? And I would be happy to send out some of the YouTube videos to help them. It makes it a lot easier than writing. We've gone into a media program where it's easier to do it this way. My email is mhardy@allegan.net.
mhardy@allegan.net. That's mhardy@allegan.net.
Okay. Also, we have, because of the way the medical profession is, we can't say anything. We have formed a church called the Sisterhood of the Emerald Fire. And we are using the oils to study the teachings of Mary Magdalene. And if anybody wants a copy of our handbook, if they wanted to email me, I would be happy to email them a copy of the handbook. It was exercises to help you get into seeing auras and stuff like that.
Oh, I think that would be very helpful for some of the listeners out there who would be interested in learning more about this and participating in it as well. The pioneering work that you've done is extremely important, especially in the context of an unknown and uncertain realm that took, it sounds like it took you many years to come to terms with in a way of learning how to communicate with elders who were trusting that you were the person to put to use some of these devices. When you look back at this, how does it make you feel in the sense that they trusted you to do this?
Well, first of all, we probably came to the planet to do this. I have privy to a lot of my past lives. And basically, in 1996, I went to France. And 12 Knights Templars came to me and said, you have an antenna system, and you've been trained as a Mary. Why the Marys could do the healing with the oils is they could actually spin their heart chakras. The heart chakra is green, and they could emit green fire out of their hands. Now, interestingly enough, the song Green Sleeves, when we went to Egypt, Green Sleeves was a very popular song. You have to realize that when the people that were trained at Saqqara, that's why we've taken the name New Saqqara, when they were trained at Saqqara, they were given the rods of Ptah. Four men could carry a block, a two-ton block, down a walkway to the frequency of green sleeves. Why did they call it green sleeves? Because their arms glowed green. When we went out to a hotel, they didn't speak English. When we wanted a wake-up call, they played Green Sleeves. We've had Farouk's cousins here, and when we told them that story, they said, oh, I always had to perform in front of the king, Farouk, who was in the 50s, was taken down in Egypt. We had to perform to Green Sleeves. And the Irish use green sleeves. Ed, if you go to southern Spain, or along where they do some of this grid work, Greensleeves is a popular song. So that's why we call ourselves the Sisterhood of the Emerald Fire. Because if we start using our bodies in this direction, we can actually begin to see and know how to heal.
The discoloration is a symptom.
Well, your chakras are all different colors. I don't know if you know about chakras. Your chakras are a standing counter wave through your body, which, and the glia brain itself has many hearts. The heart has a chakra. The gut has a chakra. You walk in a room and you jerk because you smelled something through the amygdalas, you get a reaction. That's because your heart or your gut reacts to this frequency in the glia brain. The glia brain is 85% of your body, and it is operated on the chakra system. That is why it's the gateway to higher consciousness.
Mary, thanks for explaining that. I appreciate that. Also, understood that the chakra system was connected to the endocrine system?
Yeah. The amygdala gland is part of the endocrine system.
I gotcha. Okay.
And if you go to the land of milk and honey, it is basically interaction between the pituitary gland and the pineal gland. It makes a honey. So, and all of these things, you need a pure body to activate them. That's why you have to use pure oils, pure water, pure everything. Because according to the study of oils through Godfossey, he put his hand in a vat of lavender after he burned it, and the burn went away right away because of the activation of pure products. When I first went out to teach about the oils, a lady made me a cup of tea, and she burned her finger, and I put the oil on the finger. I didn't give her any, and maybe 12 hours later, the burn started burning again. So she went down to the health food store and bought a bottle of lavender. It only takes a small percentage to be classified as pure. That lavender was thinned with castor oil. So you have to have pure water, pure oils, pure food to actually activate these elements within your body. Like cures like.
Like cures like.
That's the basis of alchemy. You change the energy, you change the mass. But if everything is frequency, so if you poison yourself with a spider bite, what we do is reduce that spider bite to a frequency, reintroduce it to under the sublingual and the parotid gland in your mouth, and that cancels out that frequency in the body. Now, if you're taking down a tornado with a Holy Grail vortex, you ask the fairies and the divas and the whales and the dolphins and the ETs and the Knights Templar to mimic the counter frequency in a standing calmer wave while you're saying that through your brain or through your prayer. And we have taken down many tornadoes. One night we had 150 people at our house. The lady on TV said, "Take cover, Allegan." And then I wished I'd seen the video. My husband was in watching TV with a bunch of people, and they saw this vortex from us praying out here in the yard in the rain, come right up alongside the tornado. And the right frequency, they dissolved each other. Now, we have to keep it simple. So the Holy Grail vortex will get you the standing wave. Series, when I say standing wave, you know a tornado is a circular vortex, and Tom Bearden called it scalar energy and other scientists, but Kenneth called it standing calmer wave. So you build a standing wave very similar to the wave that you're trying to take care of, and with prayer, you can balance them out and get rid of it. I don't like to test it, but I have done it several times when I've been threatened with a tornado.
Does it take more than one person working on this, or can you do it by yourself?
It's better to have three people. The thing that Kenneth taught us is if you take a Tibetan bowl that creates a frequency, but it has seven layers, so it has seven layers, so it's taking seven different frequencies. If you take just one frequency, it doesn't work. So you have to have three different to make a chord. And you have to have, in music, you have a chord. I don't know much about music, but if you have three different people, you have three different frequencies, and it makes a chord. And that way, the energy can't come back on you. Now, let me just add something.
Yep.
You never, never, never do a Holy Grail vortex without permission. You have to speak to the elders of the planet, the fairies and the divas. If you don't get permission, because this is a planet of free will, if you interfere with something, if you try to do a Holy Grail vortex to heal some person and they don't want it, then you get it yourself in trouble because you break the law of free will. Okay? That is why you have to ask permission and you say with no harm to anyone.
Let's give your email and website out one more time. Could you please tell listeners your website?
They can get on my website. There's some things there. It's www.templeofsakara.com.
And your email is mhardy@allegan.net. That's allegan.net. Mary, it's just been a delight learning about the experiences in your life and an accumulated wisdom that you're sharing to the world. I want to thank you for being on In Other News.
Okay, well, thank you.
That was a past interview with Reverend Mary Hardy, rebroadcast in memory of her passing, April 6, 2025. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.